This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we've got a great show for you tonight. The title, ADHD Dads Parenting ADHD Kids, A Lived Experience, and with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Terry Dixon. And we'll get into the meat of some things tonight here in just a second, but real quickly, today is Wednesday, January the 14th in the year 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's see, announcements real quick. As I've been doing at the request of Dr. Barkley, ADHDfund.com is a crowdsourcing website to raise funds for small-scale ADHD research studies worldwide. There's very much needed research on certain types of things that there's not necessarily funding for an interest, and so this site is designed to kind of raise money for that and see if we can get very needed information in some of those areas. Don't have any conferences really to announce other than the ADHD Coaches Organization Conference is coming up, in May, and the annual CHAD Conference is off a little distance a little bit in November. I have not heard from them if they're going to do a regional conference this year, but I know that they're coming up with some exciting things this new year from a marketing perspective and some informational perspective, so we'll keep you kind of tuned on that. But let's get into tonight's show. Again, the topic is ADHD Dads Parenting ADHD Kids. With us is Dr. Terry Dixon. He's the founder and the director of the Behavioral Medicine Clinic of Northwest Michigan and has served and supported children, adolescents, and adults with ADHD for more than 15 years. Dr. Dixon has dedicated his life to helping and serving individuals with ADHD. His heartfelt passion for folks with ADHD led him to become an ADHD coach, as he believes it fills a need that medication cannot. His coach training includes the ADD Coach Academy, which is near and dear to my heart, both because I went through it and actually on faculty there now, so I'm teaching other coaches, and the Coaches Training Institute, which is also near and dear to my heart because I also went through that as well. Dr. Dixon has served on the board of the directors of the Attention Deficit Disorder Association and was co-chair of the Professional Advisory Board and chair of the National ADA Convention. He speaks regularly on ADHD and has appeared both locally and nationally on radio and TV, CNN News, NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams, and on CHAD's Ask the Expert Online. Dr. Dixon and his wife and two children live in Traverse City, Michigan. And with that, Dr. Dixon, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you. Glad to be here.
We're thrilled to have you on. This is actually your second tour of duty on Attention Talk Radio. The first one was several years ago. And real quickly, everybody, I think Dr. Dixon's really kind of unique because he brings a really good perspective. And the last show we did on him, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, but as a physician, deciding to become a coach and going through the training, we'd actually done a show because when he was going through that, I had talked to him at one point in time, and he talked about how much more difficult it was to become a coach after being trained as a physician in that kind of diagnose and fix mentality, of which the coaching paradigm is very different. You just want to take a second and just speak to that, Terry, and that experience and some of the struggles you had with kind of making that mental shift?
Sure, Jeff. It was a difficult thing at first because in medical school and residency training, you're trained to fix things, and that's what you want to do with people. You want to fix them, and you got a problem, I'm going to fix it for you. And so that mentality, led me first when I was first coaching to still want to fix people, and I found very quickly that that doesn't work in coaching. And so there was a paradigm shift for me from the fix-it mode to, you know, you as a client, you have resources, you know yourself better than I do. And you can discover for yourself what is going to work for you through coaching questions and so forth. And so that paradigm shift was actually good for me, because even in my medical practice, I have an ADHD practice in Traverse City for both adults and kids. It has actually helped me in working with patients, not just coaching clients, but patients, in just the questions I ask them. And I actually feel that my patients feel more comfortable with me. I think it's opened up conversation that wasn't there before.
Awesome, awesome. Well, to get into that, we want to work our way into the parenting part, but can you just tell us a little bit about your own ADD, how it manifests, and what you notice?
Sure. Well, I wasn't diagnosed as a kid. I was diagnosed as an adult. And it wasn't until after I had one child, now we have two children with ADHD that we know of, and it wasn't until after one of our children was diagnosed that I realized, wait a minute, I had these traits too. And I kind of, you know, looked over, you know, my life of, you know, struggles and in high school and college, and how I was a good student, but I had to work 10 times harder to get to the same place. And so I knew something was different. And so I got evaluated, and sure enough, I got the same thing, and so they got it from me.
It is very hereditary. So tell us a little bit about your children's ADD. Does it manifest in the same way as yours, or is it slightly different?
You know, we have two children, and one has moderately severe ADHD. I know the DSM-5 doesn't, you know, necessarily talk about degrees of ADHD.
Uh-huh.
However, I feel that there are degrees of ADHD.
I agree.
And from what I've seen, and our daughter actually has pretty mild ADHD. In fact, her ADHD is mild enough. I truly believe that she has it, but she's not even on the medication, and she's getting straight A's. So
okay.
I think that there are different degrees of ADHD, you know, that manifest differently in different people. And she does struggle with being inattentive at times and when things are really boring for her. You know, it's hard for her to get on task. She really has to work at it. But she's
mm-hmm.
able to accomplish a lot on her own and with helps. And she struggles in one of her subjects, so she gets tutoring. So there's things in place for her.
Mm-hmm.
My son, on the other hand, had he had a terrible time in high school and barely graduated. And even he's taking some college courses, and even in college, he needs help. He needs accommodations. So I don't know, as far as my own ADHD, mine was probably and has been milder than definitely my son. I went through school with no medication whatsoever because I didn't know I had ADHD. And of
uh-huh.
course, you know, we didn't know as much about ADHD back
yep.
in those days too. So a lot of people weren't on medication, but they did it. You know, they just worked harder.
Yep.
And that's how I did it, and that's how I got through medical school. So I was just used to working harder. And the other thing that helped me too was that school was really important to me. It was really, really important to me. And I just loved school. So I worked hard, but I wanted to work hard.
Uh-huh.
And most of my friends were hard worker. I mean, I was the kind of guy that my friends were physics majors and chemistry majors. And, you know, this is the kind of people I hung around with. So,
yep.
you know, I was in that crowd of we're all motivated. And so
yep.
I think that helped me a lot. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
So with that being said, as a parent with ADD, and you're now starting to parent children, how does your ADD impact you? At least you think your. Let me rephrase this. From your perspective, how does your ADHD impact your parenting skills?
Well, my ADHD has had an impact on my parenting skills and that in the past. And, of course, just being in the ADHD field, remember, I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot from other people, and I don't think I miss an ADD conference. And so, you know, just from being immersed in it, I've learned a lot. I've developed a lot of skills. I've compensated myself in a lot of ways. But there was a time that I was very, very impatient. I was a pretty impatient person. Mm-hmm. And one of the other problems that I have had as a parent that has affected my parenting has been I also had an anger problem, too. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we don't, you know, the DSM-5 even doesn't talk a lot about the emotional component of ADHD, which
yep.
really surprised me. I really thought it would be an element in it, because I think that that's a big player as far as ADHD.
Yep.
And I think there's a lot to do about the emotional element. But, you know, I grew up in a rather dysfunctional home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is not just ADHD. It was learned behavior. I mean, when we felt something, we got angry. I mean, this
uh-huh.
is just the way we handled it in my home growing up. So this is the kind of, you know, behaviors that I learned. So my impulsivity and lack of patience, plus my anger, at one point in raising kids did not help very much.
Mm-hmm.
That was a real detriment, and there were communication barriers because of that. And,
you know,
I've learned to manage that. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think, I mean, so that was difficult. So that impact on your children seems to me like it would make a more negative environment. Is that accurate, or how would you describe that?
It
or,
would.
More challenging. These issues with you made it more difficult to parent, and actually maybe made their ADD worse, but made their reaction to it a little worse.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, fortunately, my wife, who's not ADHD, she came from a very accepting, loving family where, you know, everybody accepted each other. And everybody was pretty mellow, and
mm-hmm.
she is amazingly mellow. And you know, she's not the angry kind at all. She's pretty patient. She's just, I mean, she is a blessing. And
uh-huh.
and it's a good thing that I married her, because she's a great balance. And you know, she's able to kind of soothe things over, so to speak. She's always
mm-hmm.
been that person who kind of moderated things. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, things didn't get out of hand. And she is such a patient person, and she believes in me, and she's believed in me all along, even before I was diagnosed. But she knew that I got impatient, I got angry, you know, things like that, and those kinds of things would bug her. But she was very, very, very patient. And
okay.
and I, you know, to this day, I look to her for a lot of advice. And when I don't know what to do about some things, you know, I'm supposedly the head of the family, but I really, really look to her for a lot of advice, too, because I have found through the years that she really has a lot of practical advice. And when I do listen to her, things you know, tend to go better in certain circumstances.
And I think that's... go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead and
one of the things, yeah, that one of the things that I really want the audience to know that was difficult for me, particularly with my son, okay? My son grew up, and even to this day, is very defiant, very oppositional. If you say go right, he goes left. Okay, he hated school. He didn't do well, which is unfortunate. I think he would have liked to have done better, but he hated school. He didn't find a point in school. He and I are like drastic night and day difference, like 180 degrees apart. I grew up, I love school. I love
yep.
the arts. I love the sciences. I listen to classical music. I mean,
yep.
I had these friends who were into the arts and everything like that. My son is into rock music. You know, I mean, we're just
yep.
like night and day difference. And, you know, and my son, you know, he's come home before. Hey, Dad, I almost got in a fight at the bar tonight, you know.
Wow.
Okay. And it's like he and I could not be any different. And
wow.
I don't know if I'm painting this picture right, but you can just imagine with my ADHD and his ADHD and our differences, oh, my gosh, clashes like you would not believe.
Wow.
And he actually indirectly taught me a lot about unconditional love and what
really?
It means to love a person unconditionally. Because for me and the family that I grew up with and the set of circumstances that I grew up in where I didn't really grow up in a very loving home, you know, I really had to learn to overcome a lot of my ADHD traits of lashing out or being impulsive and learn to just, you know, stop and breathe and just unconditionally
yep.
love him, not because of what he does, but because he's my son and because
wow.
he's a person who deserves being loved.
Wow.
Very difficult for me. I'm not going to make this sound like this was an easy thing. It took years and years and years.
Yeah, so I want to come back and kind of touch base on that because I think that's actually fascinating and something the dads, if you will, that are listening to this, it's an important message. But we need to go to a break real quick. For our listeners, if you want to learn more about Terry and his practice, and in particular if you're in Michigan, you want some coaching or you need to go see him, his website is youradhdfamily.com. And if you go to the website, hope I get this right, there's a DVD, Survival Tips for the Non-ADHD Spouse. And, Terry, I understand you interviewed a bunch of non-ADHD spouses, and it's kind of explosive, but actually a really good resource. Is that accurate?
Yes. So those people, the non-ADHD spouses, are pretty candid about their marriage. And so it's pretty wild. And so I interviewed a bunch of non-ADHD spouses, and they talk about what things have helped their marriage, what things hindered, and they're very candid. So, yeah, it was a good experience and learning experience for me just to make the DVD.
All right, sounds good. So, everybody, with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. Here we're here with Dr. Terry Dixon, and we're talking about ADHD parenting, ADHD kids, a lived experience. He's got such great perspectives, being a physician, a trained ADHD coach, an individual with ADD, and the kids with this. And before the break, we were really talking about the dynamics at home, and what stood out to me is this explosive nature of his impulsivity sometimes in anger from a combination of things, and his son's defiance and opposition. And I have to tell you, I touch base with guests on these shows sometimes, and then things come out, and this unconditional love thing's kind of got me, because for you having to learn that could not have been an easy experience for you. Can you tell us about that a little bit, and share with it also in a way, in as much as if there's other dads listening, what tips would you give them with regard to this? Because that's got to be certainly challenging.
Sure. This was not an easy thing for me. One of the things I mentioned how much importance that I placed on school. Even before my kids were born, I think I already had their schools picked out for them. They were going to, go to Harvard, at least, or better than that. And because I had such inspirations to be the best student, and that was really important to me. And I think one of the reasons why it was so important to me and why I put so much emphasis on it is because I didn't realize I had ADHD, and I struggled, and I seemed to have to work harder than other people to get the same grades.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked harder and harder and harder and trying to convince myself that I wasn't stupid, that if I just worked harder and I just worked harder and I worked harder, then I would be a someone, and it hooked a lot into my own self-esteem.
Yeah. So with that background, and turning to your son who's kind of anti-school, and trying to let go of that schooling thing and love him for who he is, how did that happen?
Well, it had to happen. Because I would get really impatient with him,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I just explode. And what I really mm-hmm. should have done would be just to go sit someplace else, just go in another room, or take a walk and just unwind and
mm-hmm.
just cool down and kind of
mm-hmm.
get perspective. And that's how I would handle things now. But
mm-hmm.
what I was really doing, in a sense, was my kids were they weren't people, they were students. And that's what they became. And if they got good grades, I loved them. If they didn't get good grades, wait a minute, what's wrong with you?
Uh-huh.
And even my daughter at one point pointed out to me, now she's a great student, but she pointed out to me, she said, "Dad, I want to make good grades, but I feel like I'm kind of a subject here or something in and of itself, and I don't feel comfortable with this. And
wow.
I'm afraid to tell you if I do poorly." Now that's bad. That's really rank if your child is afraid to talk to you because, they have to be a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why I got so much like this is because I had to overcompensate for my ADHD. And I did it in studying, and that's where I got my self-worth. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Thank goodness I got into medical school, because I don't know what I would have done. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I would have felt, oh, my goodness, I'm a total failure.
Yep.
Well, you and I both know that I wouldn't have been a total failure if I hadn't gotten into medical school. It really has nothing to do with my self-worth. But that's what I felt at the time, and I kind of projected that onto my kids at one time. I don't do that
yep.
anymore.
Yep.
But, you asked, what are some things that that people can do? Well, I mean, what is unconditional love? I kind of had to research it out myself and think about what is it. Well, it unconditional love is really wholehearted, unlimited, unrestricted, unquestioning, complete, entire. It's like, I'm going to give you this love whether you deserve it or not. You don't have to do something, to deserve this love. I'm just going to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, it never goes away. It's a kind of love that it's not there because of what somebody does. It's just there because you're a person.
Mm-hmm.
And so your child doesn't have to do anything special, doesn't have to conform to to a standard, you know, to obtain your love. So, and I think of this love as like an action, not a feeling. You know, feelings we get from others, like when they do something nice for us or they give us something, a special present or something, we get this good feeling. But it's not a goody-goody feeling. You know, it's kind of like if it's just feelings involved, if we stop getting those things from other people, well, we'll react by changing our behavior somehow. But if somebody, in other words, if somebody has to do something, you know, then that's conditional. So
yep.
I think of love as you know, the behavior itself. Now it's something different. You know, once you establish a behavior of you're going to love regardless of how the other person behaves, it becomes then unconditional. It's more of a generous love. It's not selfish. You know, feelings come and go. You know, go ahead, yeah.
So how is your transition to unconditional love, how's that impacted your relationship with your son?
It has impacted it. You know, unfortunately, there's some other issues involved involved with our child that, you know, make it more complicated, and just choices that he has made in his life that have made things more complicated that aren't my fault. There were choices that he made that where he's gotten himself messed up.
Okay.
So it's complicated the issue a lot, and it's been you know, somewhat of a struggle for our whole family, and there's been some pain in other ways. But as far as the way I talk to him and the way I relate to him, I use more, you know, instead of why questions, I use, just like coaching, I use more what and how questions, because I want to know more about how he is feeling and what he's thinking. And, you know, if he doesn't want to graduate at all and he wants to just take a job and go into a job where you just get training on the job, it's fantastic. If that's what it was meant to be and that's what he wants to do, and he's happy, I'm happy for him. And that's a lot where I've changed. And I don't want my ADD to get in the way of my relationship with him. I don't want to be impulsive. I don't want to restrict him. I want to believe in him. I want to believe in him as a person, and that, and even any mistakes that he has made, hey, I've made mistakes, many of them too. So if I pointed a mistake to him, hey, why did you do this? Well, he could point at 12 that I made in my life. There's things that I regret too. So none of us are perfect. And so my relationship with him has changed in that I'm able to see him and also our daughter more as a real person. And I think I was very restricted growing. I think my upbringing kind of had an effect on that, and also some of the ADHD traits really had an effect on that too, because I feel, because I struggled with my ADHD growing up and in school, that, you know, it was kind of like self-survival. I need to keep studying. I need to get through this. You know, this is hard. I need to do this. I need to protect myself.
Yep.
And really, you don't establish good relationships that way.
Yep. We need to go to our other break real quick. When we come back, I want to kind of keep this conversation going for a little bit. For our listeners out there, go to Terry's website, youradhdfamily.com. Check out the DVD, Survival Tips for the Non-ADHD Spouse. And I know Terry's working on a book. We can't tell you when it's going to come out and stuff like that, but if you're listening to our archives, you know, a year from now or something, go to his website and check it out, because I know that he's been trying to pull this together for a period of time, and I'm sure it's going to be great stuff when it comes out. So with all that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're having a great conversation with Dr. Terry Dixon. Terry, I have to tell you something. As I listened to you during the last segment, and you were talking about unconditional love, this is a feeling, and you can confirm or deny this, but it's like when you let go and you begin to love your son unconditionally, you sound so much more at peace and so much more confident in your dealing with him. The words that I'm describing might not be correct, and feel free to make any changes if they're there, but I just feel like you're kind of more at peace and more relaxed. Is that accurate, or what are your thoughts on that?
That's pretty accurate, Jeff. When I have a discussion with my son and it's calm and peaceful, he tells me. And he tells me that he said, I really enjoyed this conversation. And maybe he and I disagree on just about everything, you know. And I'm not saying that's true all the time, but it doesn't matter. When we have a peaceful conversation, and I'm just giving him the ear, and I'm listening. You know, sometimes it's uncomfortable to hear somebody else's point of view, especially if it's your child and they disagree with what you're saying. Perhaps, you know, you're hearing something you don't want to hear. But, you know, and the thing you're hearing may actually challenge your own belief systems and your values. It may be the exact opposite of what you taught your child. But having good listening skills establishes trust and respect beyond words that I can say, you know. And when you listen to your child's perspective, you learn a lot. You may find that your child's smarter than you think, or you may learn from them. Obviously, you can. And I think by listening to your children often, they kind of teach you how to raise them. And so just having that gift of listening really has helped a lot. And he'll tell me, you know, I really enjoyed our discussion. And it's not often that we sit down and have a really good discussion, that we have the time that we can. And with him, I always seems like I have to wait until he's ready or he's willing to talk. And it always seems to be really late at night when I want to go to sleep. And for a lot of people with ADHD, including myself, late at night is not the best time to talk. But that's the time, you know, it could be midnight, but that's the time that he likes talking because he's really, really a night person. And so that's when we talk. That's when my wife talks to him too, or the three of us talk together, and it seems to go well. So I think a lot of times is putting yourself aside and getting at their level, what's really interesting to them, and finding things to be interested in. There were things that he and I did early on that we don't do together anymore, which is really terrible. I'm a cyclist. I'm a bicyclist, and, you know, I have a road bike and I ride 40, 50 miles at a time and I really love it. And he was really into that. And at one point I bought him a really nice road bike and he lost interest in that. So that's nothing that we share together anymore very often. We rode once together last year and I really enjoyed it. And it gave us a chance to talk together. Sometimes it's just, you know, finding the thing that you connect with. He's really into weightlifting, and I'm not, but You know, I go down there and I watch them, or I do some of the, you know, the machines, you know, just to be with him. I think a lot of times you just have to really put yourself aside. And it's hard for us people with ADHD sometimes to do that. And you really have to put everything aside when you're with your child and not be, you know, filling with your phone, looking at text or, you know, answering emails or anything. You just put all of that aside and just focus completely on your child. So important.
And yeah, and for somebody with ADHD, that just putting all that stuff aside, just be there with them. Sometimes it's not the most stimulating thing, particularly if it's not something that's of interest to you. I want to applaud you for what you're doing, Terry. But at the same time, I don't want to mitigate it. That's not necessarily an easy thing to do. But what I'm hearing is you found the way to do that, and you see the value in it. One of the things that I can't help but point or bring to, if you're listening to the show. The one thing about coaching is it's all about core values and kind of moving into this. And Terry, one of the things that just coming, just screaming out of me, this is, you clearly had a value on education, whether it was a core value or was something that gave you self-esteem. But to look at your child unconditionally and kind of let that go, I got to tell you, I'm not. It's easy to say. I'm not so sure it's hard to do. And it was interesting because I did an interview with Elaine Taylor Kloss of Impact ADD back the Monday before last Thanksgiving. It was on bullying, and I thought we were going to talk about bullying the kids. And she talked about how we bully ourselves, but more importantly in that interview, she talked about values and how they're in conflict. And when they're in conflict, particularly within ourselves, how we beat ourselves up over it. And to me, there's a little bit of an intuitive tie between that conversation and here, because when your son's maybe values or your children's values are in conflict with yours, that's got to create a lot of emotion, a lot of difficulty. But what I'm blown away with from this interview is the way you've been able to let go of those things and focus on the unconditional love. Because while I understand your relationship with your son is still not the best, it does seem like from a parenting perspective and your skills, that it's improving things ever so slightly given the circumstances. You want to comment on that? Or?
Well, you know, Jeff, you know, as aside to what you're just asking, I want to comment on that. But, you know, I've seen in my practice and with clients through the years how much people with ADHD beat themselves up. And, you know, my thing was, you know, I got to be this A student. I got to do this. I got to do that, you know. And a lot of people with ADHD that I've known through the years have had setbacks and failures. Some of them haven't planned for the future. They're, you know, because they don't goal set very well. They don't plan for the future. They may have no retirement. They may be, you know, 70 years old and have no retirement. And they're still working and everything. But, you know, I've had to learn this the hard way, and I've learned this for myself. You know, those things are nice and everything like that, but is it really the most important thing? You know, I mean, you know, sure, all of us want a comfortable future, and we want to be comfortable. We want security. We want this and everything like that. But, you know, we tend to compare ourselves to other people, and we tend to put ourselves down, and we make ourselves look ugly because we don't like ourselves. And I've had people come in my office that say, you know, If I don't succeed this time, I've tried school so many times, I'm just going to kill myself. You know, well, is it really worth that? I mean, is it really that important? And I have to really look at them and say, I want us to spend time now talking about things that you have done right. Name some positive things that you have done in your lifetime. Sometimes they'll look at me and they say, well, I can't think of any. You know, I have to look at it and I say, you know, I want to just call you out on that. I don't believe that you've lived, you know, 50 years and you've done nothing right.
Mm-hmm.
That's impossible. And so, you know, then we brainstorm that and everything, because I think our expectations of ourselves sometimes then are things that we project on other people, like our kids. And, you know, I think what I've seen in other ADHD people, I've seen in myself, is, wait a minute, you are being unreasonable. Here. We're being really, really unreasonable but with ourselves. And, you know, you mentioned the book that I'm writing. Well, that book is, you know, we're halfway there, okay? But that book has been too long in coming and everything, because I've had one excuse after another why, you know, I just can't write this, or I put other excuses in the way and things like that. And a lot of it may be just the demands that I put on myself take so much time that I don't have time for creativity. And I've seen people that have let go of so much of demands on themselves and have actually gone on to create a lot. And their relationships have improved tremendously.
Well, so I need to kind of pull this together, Terry, but the thing that I, if you're a dad listening out there, or if you're a spouse of somebody with ADD, is that, you know, this parenting thing, one of the things that I think is real here, and that is when there's no self-awareness of what your situation is and no education on ADD, and you're just impulsively reacting, that's just a recipe for an explosion. And I'm in awe of you by pausing. We've done so many shows on the power of the pause, and stopping and paying attention, as they say, to what you're paying attention to, and realizing that maybe you're projecting some stuff, and letting go and focusing and really kind of getting to the unconditional love. It clearly has changed your outlook, your approach, and what's going on. It clearly is having an impact on your son, and I got to believe, from a parenting perspective, it's at the end of the day, where you are now is more positive than where you were before that. And I think that the message really here is there's a little bit of inward focus as a parent and awareness to let go in order to be a better parent. Now, I've outlined my take on this, but is there anything that you'd like to add, or does that make sense to you?
That makes clear sense, yeah. Yeah, I mean, before, it's almost like I made promises to my kids that I didn't keep. It's like I really didn't show up every day for them. You know, I was there. They could see my physical presence. It really wasn't there for them. And, you know, it was kind of like I was kind of self-centered. I was kind of wrapped in my own self and managing my ADD, you know, as best as I could, and trying to improve and everything, and having the same demands on them. And I think it was kind of when I stopped demanding myself that I was able to more clearly give. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yep, it does.
You know,
it totally does.
Like, yeah.
It totally does. So, Terry, we need to kind of pull this thing together. You know, everybody, check out the website. That's youradhdfamily.com, and check out the DVD, and hopefully in the future we'll have a book up there. So, Terry, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Everybody, we hope you enjoyed it. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.